Section 15, the meaning of conversion in Buddhism. In the course of my 2 years at the Hampstead Buddhist Vihara, I must have given upwards of 200 lectures. Some of the people attending these lectures considered themselves to be Buddhists, while others, no doubt the majority, did not. Among those who considered themselves Buddhists, there were many who also considered themselves to have been converted to Buddhism, usually from Christianity. And this led to my giving more thought to what was meant by conversion, especially within the context of Buddhism, than I had done before. It also led to my delivering, under the title The Meaning of Conversion in Buddhism, a series of 4 lectures in which I dealt with conversion to and within Buddhism in terms of going for refuge, stream entry, the arising of the will to enlightenment, and turning about in the deepest seat of consciousness. These lectures were delivered in the summer of 1965, and in them I was able to give expression to some of the new ideas that had come to me as a result of my realization of the central importance of going for refuge in the Buddhist life. This is not to say that such ideas did not find their way into some of the other lectures I gave during my 2 years at the Hampstead Buddhist Vihara. Looking through my lecture notes of the period in preparation for writing about this stage in the history of my going for refuge, I was indeed surprised by the extent to which later developments in my thinking had been anticipated. But though some of my new ideas, or rather my new interpretations of old ideas, may have found their way into other lectures, it was only in the 4 lectures on the meaning of conversion in Buddhism that certain of them found more or less systematic expression within the context of traditional Buddhist thought. Conversion itself I defined as a turning around from a lower to a higher way of life, or more specifically, from a worldly life to a spiritual life. Sometimes it was a slow and gradual process, lasting many years. Sometimes it was almost instantaneous, in which case one could speak of sudden conversion. However it took place, it was of the greatest importance as marking the beginning of the spiritual life, and hence was deserving of serious consideration. If the meaning of conversion was studied in connection with Buddhism, it would be found that it was not such a simple matter as had been supposed. In Buddhism, conversion was of several kinds and took place on different levels. In terms of going for refuge, conversion meant the orientation of one's life in the direction of the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, which, as the 3 jewels, represented the world of the highest spiritual values, or what was attractive and desirable above all else. It meant organizing one's life around the 3 jewels. And the greater part of the first lecture was devoted to an explanation of how this worked out in the case of each individual jewel. In the case of the Buddha, going for refuge meant taking him as the living embodiment of the highest spiritual ideal. If anybody else was regarded as such, there was no refuge. And though one might be an admirer of the Buddha and Buddhism, one would not be a Buddhist. This might seem narrow, but was not really so. Devotion was by its very nature exclusive, for the heart could be fixed only on what was perceived as the highest. In the case of the Dharma, which was both teaching and spiritual principle, going for refuge was of 2 kinds, intellectual and spiritual. Intellectually, it meant studying the doctrinal formulations in which the Dharma, as a spiritual principle, found expression. Spiritually, it meant the personal realization of that principle. In the case of the Sangha, which at one and the same time denoted the spiritual hierarchy, the monastic order, and the whole Buddhist community, going for refuge was threefold, in that one could go for refuge to the Sangha in all these senses. But there was a deeper meaning. Those who went for refuge to the Sangha also went for refuge to the Buddha and the Dharma. That is, they had a common spiritual teacher or spiritual ideal, and a common teaching or spiritual principle. And this tended to draw them together, even on the social plane. But what did one mean by together? One did not mean physical proximity, or agreement on doctrinal questions, or even the attainment of the same stage of the spiritual path. It was rather more subtle than that. The together lay in communication, which was not just an exchange of ideas, but a vital mutual responsiveness on the basis of a common spiritual ideal and a common spiritual principle. It was a common exploration in complete harmony and complete honesty, of the spiritual world. In this way, spiritual progress took place. The exploration might be between guru and disciple, or it might be between friends. This anticipated the vertical and horizontal communication or spiritual friendship of later expositions. Though in the course of communication, such distinctions might have lost their significance. In any case, in going for refuge to the Sangha, one would be going for refuge to spiritual communication from mere contact, which was in most cases meaningless and superficial. In this way did I draw attention, in the first of my lectures on the meaning of conversion in Buddhism, to the fact that Sangha, or spiritual community, meant communication, a theme that in later years was to resound throughout the WBO and FWBO. Having done this, I reminded my listeners that going for refuge to the three jewels constituted conversion, not merely in the sense of conversion from Christianity or any other religion to Buddhism, but in the sense of conversion from mundane life to spiritual life. It meant conversion from limited human ideals to an absolute spiritual ideal, from little systems that have their day to a path based on spiritual principles, and from meaningless worldly contact to meaningful spiritual communication. All this was involved when one repeated the words Buddham Saranam Gacchami and so on. But even more than that, conversion meant changing into. Going for refuge was not just turning to the three jewels, but being transformed into them. Thus, one aspect of the meaning of conversion in Buddhism was transformation into the three jewels. One's mind became enlightened, became Buddha. One's thoughts became in conformity with that enlightenment, became Dharma. And one's actions, especially one's communication, became spiritually meaningful, hence Sangha. This brought me from conversion to Buddhism, as represented by going for refuge, to conversion within Buddhism, as represented by stream entry and the arising of the will to enlightenment. It was not enough to orient one's life in the direction of the three jewels, or to organize one's life around them in a general sort of way. It was not even enough to be transformed into them. The transformation had to be made permanent. There had to be a permanent shift in the center of one's being, a shift from conditioned existence to the unconditioned. There had to be a permanent switch over from the round to the spiral. And this was what was meant by stream entry. The greater part of my second lecture on the meaning of conversion in Buddhism was therefore devoted to explaining what was meant by the round and the spiral, which involved dealing with such topics as the principle of conditionality, the two kinds of conditionality, either cyclical and the progressive, the Tibetan wheel of life, the 12 nidanas, the cause process and the effect process, the three junctures, the 12 positive nidanas, the path of vision, and the three characteristics of mundane existence, and the three fetters. Similarly, the greater part of my third lecture on the arising of the will to enlightenment was devoted to explaining what was meant by enlightenment, bodhi, by will, citta, and by arising, utpada. According to tradition, there were three kinds or grades of bodhi or enlightenment, and these are reduced to two: enlightenment which was gained but not communicated, and enlightenment which was both gained and communicated. The arising of the will to enlightenment referred to the second of these, and represented the transition within the transcendental order from an individualistic to an altruistic attitude. It represented conversion from subtle spiritual selfhood to a life of complete selflessness. Since one could hardly go farther than that, in my fourth and last lecture, I approached the subject of conversion in Buddhism from an entirely fresh point of view, and dealt with it in terms of turning about in the deepest seat of consciousness. Paravritti, or turning about, consisted in turning from a superficial to a profound mode of awareness. According to the Lankavatara Sutra, one of the key texts of the Yogacara school, there were eight consciousnesses, vijnana, or more literally, discriminative awarenesses. These were the five sense consciousnesses, the mind consciousness, the afflicted or defiled mind consciousness, afflicted by a dualistic outlook that has interpreted experience in terms of subject and object, self and world, and the alia or store consciousness. The alia or store consciousness had two aspects, the relative and the absolute. The relative alia consisted of the impressions left by our past experiences, both those of the present life and those of previous lives. These impressions were thought of as seeds. They were not passive, but potentially active, and could sprout again whenever conditions permitted. The absolute alia was reality itself, conceived as pure awareness, free from all trace of the subject-object duality. Turning about took place on the borderline between the relative alia and the absolute alia. As a result of our performing religious actions, pure seeds, as they were called, were deposited in the relative alia. And when enough of these had been accumulated, the absolute alia acted upon them in such a way that they pushed out the impure seeds deposited by our mundane actions. This pushing out constituted the turning about in the deepest seat of consciousness, i.e. in the alia, and brought about the transformation of the entire vijnana system, the five sense consciousnesses being collectively transformed into the all-performing wisdom, the mind consciousness into the distinguishing wisdom, the afflicted mind consciousness into the wisdom of equality, and the relative alia into the mirror-like wisdom. The absolute alia did not need to be transformed and was equated with the wisdom of the Dharma Dhatu. Thus, in terms of turning about in the deepest seat of consciousness, conversion in Buddhism consisted in turning from a dualistic to a non-dualistic mode of awareness and bringing about a radical transformation of one's entire being. By dealing with conversion to and within Buddhism in terms of going for refuge, stream entry, the arising of the will to enlightenment, and turning about in the deepest seat of consciousness, I made it clear that all were aspects of a single process. This process was, of course, the process of conversion. Since going for refuge was an aspect of conversion, and since stream entry was also an aspect of conversion, going for refuge and stream entry could therefore in principle be equated, as could going for refuge in the arising of the will to enlightenment. Though in my lectures on the meaning of conversion in Buddhism I did not explicitly make the equation, and was not to do so for a few more years, in the lecture on the arising of the will to enlightenment, I came close to doing so. Having reduced the three kinds or grades of enlightenment to two, i.e. enlightenment which was gained but not communicated, and enlightenment which was both gained and communicated, I went on to lay it down as an axiom, and in my notes the words are italicized, that a spiritual experience which can be kept to oneself is not the same as one which has to be communicated, i.e. one whose very nature involves its communication. End of quote. This meant, in effect, the abolition of the distinction between the two kinds or grades of enlightenment. Keeping a spiritual or transcendental experience to oneself was, in fact, a contradiction in terms, which meant the abolition of the distinction between going for refuge and the arising of the will to enlightenment. For the enlightenment in respect of which the will to enlightenment arose was none other than the enlightenment that was the ultimate object of going for refuge. The arising of the will to enlightenment did not carry on from where going for refuge left off, so to speak, for going for refuge did not leave off at all, but was what I subsequently called the altruistic dimension of going for refuge. Similarly, with going for refuge and stream entry. Stream entry, too, did not carry on from where going for refuge left off, but was going for refuge itself on a higher, transcendental plane. It was what I subsequently called real going for refuge, as distinct from the provisional going for refuge, which was merely cultural and formal, and the effective going for refuge, from which one could still fall away. Thus, with the help of the conception of conversion, I paved the way, in my four lectures on the meaning of conversion in Buddhism, for that radical reduction of stream entry and the arising of the will to enlightenment, and even of turning about in the deepest seat of consciousness, to going for refuge, which characterized my later Buddhist thinking and constituted one of the principal foundations of the WBO and FWBO.